Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Aging Younger with David and Stephanie Tippy, founders of the Anti-Aging Clinic in Lauderhill, Florida, where the alternatives matter. Now here are your hosts, David and Stephanie Tippy.
Hello to our listeners. I'm David Tippy. And welcome to the Aging Younger Show. Stephanie is in New York on assignment, and we'll be back on next week's show. You know, if drugs are so good for you, where are all of the well people that have used them? You know, illegal drugs are legal drugs. It's getting harder and harder to tell which is more dangerous. A vitally important story reported in an April 15, 1998 issue of the Journal of American Medical Association sums it up nicely, that a minimum of 106,000 people die each year from properly prescribed drugs. This death toll may be as high as even 196,000, which places deaths from prescribed drugs between fourth and sixth leading cause of death in the United States, just behind heart disease, cancer, and stroke. While approximately 15,000 people die each year from illegal street drugs, compare that to over 100,000 that are killed each year from properly prescribed medications. Now, the real big drug problem that seems to be the misuse or overuse, both by prescription drug and over-the-counter drugs. Now, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration say there are about 300,000 over-the-counter drugs available. Do you know that 75% of all visits to the MD end with a prescription being prescribed to them? That's right. Do you know that pharmaceutical companies spend $10 billion a year to market their drugs to you, the consumer, who can't even buy from them? You might go to their salesmen or saleswomen, doctors, to get their drugs. In an article, it stated that in an average year, 1.6 million people are hospitalized due to the side effects of prescribed drugs. Up to 160,000 will die from their reaction. This was published by Dangerous Drugs in 1992. Americans consume 15 tons of aspirin a day, 19 billion tablets a year. Although thought to be harmless, a single aspirin will be responsible for 1,500 to 2,000 deaths. It will be the leading cause of kidney disease. It will cause ulcers, toxic headaches, and children's Reye's syndrome. Now, the average senior citizen gets 15 prescriptions each year. This is from the U.S. Health and Human Services Department, 1992. For people over the age of 60, in 1 year, there will be, and this is from the Public Citizens Health Research, 1 million adverse reactions to prescriptions, 243,000 hospitalized due to drug reactions, and 163,000 suffering from memory loss due to prescription drugs. 61,000 Americans will suffer drug-induced Parkinson's disease this year alone. 32,000 suffer hip fractures annually, including 1,500 deaths from drug-induced falls. And this is from the article in USA Today back in 1994. The 7,600 deaths and 76,000 annual hospitalizations are due to internal bleeding caused by non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, most used for arthritis. 41% of these prescriptions are unnecessary. And this is from the intern med back in 1997. 23% of the elderly receive repeat prescriptions for more than a year without ever seeing a physician. In U.S. hospitals, a serious drug error occurs in one out of every 14 patients. Now, this is from the Harvard School of Public Health back in 1994. Medical malpractice is responsible for 80,000 deaths per year, one every 7 minutes. Now, this is publicized by the Public Citizen back in 1994. Between 106,000 and 196,000 people die each year in U.S. hospitals from properly prescribed drugs. Over 2 million suffer serious side effects. Now, this is from the Journal of American Medical Association back in 1998. A 13-year study showed that 66% of all non-prescription drugs don't work. And this is reported by the U.S. Public Health Services in 1986. 4,500 people die each year due to the angiograms for the heart with no evidence they work at all. And this is from the Health and Healing site. No studies have shown that heart bypass surgery extends life at all. Most studies show plaquing in the arteries is still 6 weeks after the surgery. And this is from the Health and Healing as well. At present, there is an excess of 54,000 prescription drugs and 300,000 over-the-counter drugs on the market. CNN headline news now on 1995 for those numbers. Americans consume over half of all drugs in the world today. Hey, we are only 5% of the world's population. This is at a rate of over 25 million drugs per hour. And still, we are the unhealthiest of 19 modern countries, civilized countries in the world. The average family has over 29 different drugs in the home at any time. Every third television commercial is a drug advertisement. By the time the average child reaches 18, they have seen 20,000 hours of drug commercials, such as Plop Plop Fizz Fizz, Oh, What a Really Fit Is, and a million others. Three of 10 patients now request a prescription drug they have seen advertised on television. Doctors can net up to $4,000 per patient referred to drug companies to participate in their studies. This is from Smart Money, November of 1999. More than $11 billion is spent each year by pharmaceutical companies in promotion and marketing, $5 billion of which goes to their sales representatives, you know, the doctors. It has been estimated that $8,000 to $13,000 is spent per year on each physician who are their drug salespeople. This is about $30 million each day. Physicians and the Pharmaceutical Industry, Journal of Medical Journal of the American Medical Association has reported this in 2000. Now, if you take just one non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, Motrin, Daytril, Anacin, ibuprofen, etc., drug every 4 days over your lifetime, you will have 9 times the normal risk of vital organ damage, kidney failure, liver failure, etc. This is from the New England Journal of Medicine in 1994. Now, 37% of people over 60 are taking 5 or more prescription drugs at one time. Adverse drug reactions kill 73,000 elderly Americans each year. This is from the Sacramento Bee. Now, 1/4 of all elderly Americans are prescribed at least one inappropriate or dangerous drug each year. Now, this is from the USA Today, 1994. 40% to 60% of all antibiotics in this country are misprescribed. Now, this is from the Health Letter, and it was in 1989. Approximately 180,000 people die each year as a result of a doctor-caused injury. Now, this is equal to 3 jumbo jet crashes every 2 days, killing all of the passengers. Again, this is from the Journal of Medical, American Medical Association in 1994. Now, drug problems each year cost as much as $182 billion, kill as many as 198,815 people, and put 8.8 million in hospitals, and account for up to 28% of all hospital admissions. Now, this is from the American Medical News back in 1996. Now, adverse drug reactions add an average of 4.6 days to the length of the hospital stay at an average cost of $5,857. And again, this is from the Journal of American Medical Association in 1997. Over $75 billion per year is spent on treating patients injured from bad reactions to prescribed drugs. Almost $2 billion of this is spent on additional prescriptions. Now, this is from the Arch Intern of Medicine, 1995. Properly prescribed drugs are the 4th leading cause of death in the U.S. Only heart disease and cancer and stroke kill more Americans, from the Newsweek, okay, 1998. Overall, 51% of approved drugs have serious adverse effects not detected prior to the approval of those drugs by the FDA. And, of course, this is from the Journal of American Medical Association in 1998. Up to 140,000 people die annually due to the side effects of prescribed drugs. And this was from the U.S. News and World Report in 1995. The National Center for Health Statistics reported 14,843 deaths in 1996 as a result of using illegal drugs. The drug users of the United States have embraced a new type of manufactured drug as well as a new form of an existing drug. Synthetic marijuana and bath salt have been introduced into the drug market, and the drug testing companies are doing their best to keep up with the derivatives. Now, dangerous manufactured drugs like synthetic marijuana can cause death, but real marijuana seems not to cause instant death taken alone. Now, synthetic opiates, most popular, easily purchased or stolen from prescribed users, the new MDMA ecstasy pill called Molly has recently hit the streets. Now it's time to bring on my guest speaker on the show with me today, who knows all about illegal drugs, and he is also a co-host of my political conservative talk show every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. So, Mike, I would like for you to come in and tell the audience, our listeners, first, a little about your background, and we'll go from there.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it. Most of my career was spent in sales management, product management, sales engineering, traveling, promoting industrial sales products. My daughter became addicted to heroin. I found out when she was a senior in high school, and got tired of traveling, so I thought that if I could talk to parents about testing their kids with in-home kits, we give them an idea of, you know, stop it now, because once somebody starts using a drug, it's almost impossible to get them to stop. You got to talk to them before they start using. statistically, if you talk to your kids, they're 5 times less likely to use. But parents don't want to talk to you. They're afraid. I mean, even the parents listening to this show are doing it anonymously, and hopefully they'll pay attention and listen to what we have to say. I wanted to rehash a couple of the numbers that you gave, David, that we have about 5 to 6% of the world population in use, at last count, 67% of the illegal drugs. And for some reason, the government is not in a hurry to stop that. A lot of drugs coming over the Mexican border, and they don't seem to be inclined to stop that at all, which is just a major problem. I want to discuss ecstasy a little bit, with a little bit of background to start. Merck, the German pharmaceutical company, invented MDMA, or ecstasy, or, and I'll try to get this right, 3,4-methylenedioxymethylamphetamine. That was started in 1912. 1950, the government groups like the CIA experiment with MDMA, or ecstasy, under the project MK-Ultra to brainwash and manipulate their minds for espionage or assassinations. They eventually abandoned this because it didn't work. They tried it as a truth serum, as mind control. They studies started with dogs and monkeys, but government and military basically abandoned it because it just did not work. Now it's popped up on the black market and is now used illegally as a recreational drug. Schedule 1 drug has no known medical use. Molly kind of made a resurgence of it, and it's a pill or a powder form of ecstasy, and it's been popularized by entertainers like Rihanna, Keisha, Katy Perry, and Madonna, trying to name ecstasy as a recreational drug. And what it does, it has a lot of side effects. It gives you a lot of energy. It makes you feel like you're social and you can dance all night. But some of the minor side effects are teeth grinding, dehydration, anxiety, insomnia, fever, loss of appetite. But it can also include hypothermia, uncontrollable seizures, high blood pressure, and depression caused by a sudden drop in the serotonin level in the brain days after use. And 3 days after you take it, usually Tuesday, it's nicknamed Suicide Tuesday because a lot of these people stop taking the drug because they're done their partying, but it leaves them feeling very, very depressed. And ecstasy can be picked up in most of the drug tests, hair, urine, saliva, because it is something that's hasn't wandered too far. It's not a designer drug yet. Some of the designer drugs, bath salts for one, and they cause psychotic episodes in some of the users. And you've heard stories about people that acted like zombies attacking people. And that was from a reaction to bath salts. The term bath salts comes from the texture of the drug. Got small crystals. It looks like Epsom salts or a bathing product. And it contains another real long word, but the MDPV. And it's a psychoactive substance with stimulant properties. And it can be detected. They're just coming out with some urine tests to be able to detect certain types of bath salts, but they change it so often, it's kind of hard to keep up with it. You can, and the manufacturer only has to change a little bit, and that gets around the illegality aspect of it and also the testing aspect of it. And usually the tests are fairly expensive. And
you came to Florida. You came to Florida at the request of a very wealthy individual to test his company employees. Who was that?
Oh, at Peachtree in Florida. It was J.G. Wentworth up here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And they had, they're one of my clients in Pennsylvania. And we do a urine test for the 5 basic drug groups. And they had purchased Peachtree funding in Florida. And they wanted to bring them on. So they sent me down there to do the testing of all the people in the company to find out if anybody was using drugs illegally. And when you take over another company, you can use your existing drug and alcohol policy on the new employees. And they've since moved a lot of those people up to Philadelphia. There's still some people down there, but a skeleton crew.
I wonder how you can tell the difference between legal and illegal. So many people, and by the way, are taking legal drugs illegally, you know. So I wonder, is there a way to tell the difference when you're testing?
Yeah, it's fairly simple when you do a drug test, whether it's a urine or a hair test. They'll go through and they do an immunoassay test at first just to try to see if there's any non-negative or, you know, possibly positive drugs in a person's system. And there's a whole series of tests you can try to detect depending upon which test you select. You can look for synthetic opiates, methadone, quaaludes, and then cocaine, methamphetamine, amphetamine, marijuana, the typicals. And what will happen is they run an initial test, and then to confirm, they'll run a mass chromatography, gas spectrometry test on it. And if they still see something non-negative, they'll call the donor up and say, we found so-and-so in your system. Do you have a prescription for it? Now, if they've got a prescription, they'll give them a clean test. Now, things like cocaine and marijuana, they aren't used in anything. So if you find coke or marijuana in a person's system, that's coke or marijuana. Mm. And as far as the pills go, you can do a urine test or a hair test testing for synthetic opiates like ketamine, Percocet, hydrocodone, Oxycontins, and that'll show up. And again, if they have it in their system, you know, a cancer patient may have a lot of medications for pain in their system, but yet they'll have prescriptions for it. So
right.
You give them a prescription number, and it could be a clean test. Now, they can't really check for dosage amounts.
Yeah. Would the synthetic marijuana, which you're going to tell us what the difference between that and regular marijuana is, but would they both show up the same in the test?
They don't. No, it's a different test altogether.
So how would know? Would you be certain to perform both tests, or would you not know? And would it be a constant effort to take both tests? Is what I guess maybe I'm saying.
Now, at this point in time, they have tests for synthetic marijuana, but it's not grouped in with a selection of other tests. The typical urine tests were tests for barbiturates, benzodiazepines, coke, amphetamine, methamphetamines, and it could include synthetic opiates, but it won't include synthetic marijuana or bath salts. And mainly because there's so many different derivatives right now of those products that it's hard for the testing, like you mentioned before, it's hard for the drug testing companies to keep up with that because they keep changing the chemical composition. And the synthetic marijuana.
Just the fact that it's synthetic is enough to be alarming to people in my industry, in the wellness industry, because the body does not deal with synthetic. But now we're talking about synthetic drug, which is, of course, marijuana starting out to be bad. So now we're going to make it synthetic. So which one do you think would be worse, regular or the synthetic marijuana?
Hands down, the synthetic. People have died from synthetic marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
No deaths that I know of have been reported on natural grown marijuana. But the synthetic, they'll take vegetation or spices, that's what they call it, spice, and they'll spray a psychoactive chemical on it, trying to emulate what THC is. THC is the addictive portion in marijuana that makes you high. But the problem is, these things are made in basements, they're made in trunks, you can't really rely. Actually, any real illegal drug, you can't rely on any kind of quality control. So you're getting something, and you don't know how strong it is.
Yeah.
And to pop something in your...
Yeah. One of the things that might come to my mind, and has just now in talking about it, when you talk about, well, there's not a lot of deaths with natural marijuana, it certainly shortens the longevity. In other words, you would not live as long because it would have such a devastating effect on brain cells. I mean, after a while, it kills brain cells. So you're going to be heading leaps and bounds toward neurological diseases or Alzheimer's or something. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. It burns brain cells and it makes you dumb. It affects your memory. It affects your motivation. Take the two states, Colorado and Washington. And Washington just had a hemp fest. And you saw nothing but fields of kids out there. Boy, they're happy. They can smoke now. They can be as dumb as they want. We're dumbing down the country by doing these illegal drugs. And making marijuana legal is one of the stupidest things any state has ever done.
Well, how what's your opinion of those guys that just got to killing that person? They got together and they decided that they were bored and they went to kill. Wouldn't you love to test those and to see if the remnants of some marijuana residue was there? I mean, can you imagine somebody not having any remorse and just say, well, we were bored, so we wouldn't kill somebody?
Yeah, that's incredible. I'd love to see what they got in their system.
Yeah.
Just like Trayvon Martin had marijuana, at least marijuana system, which they couldn't bring up in the trial. But, of course, this is a case where Obama's not going to come out and say, that could have been my son. That's because the guy was white.
Right.
But marijuana taken by itself hasn't caused death. But you'll find people that use coke will drink. People that use barbiturates will drink with it at the same time. That's where you get into trouble. That's where you can actually kill yourself. Plus the fact that you never know what street drugs are cut with. You know, when they first started, the Molly came out as a pure substance, pure ecstasy. And then they started cutting it. And they get to cut it with things that wouldn't hurt you at first, but before you know it, they've got fentanyl in there, they've got things that can really harm you. Ketamine, speed, and this is just to stretch it, but those combinations can kill you. It's funny, if you look at a lot of the drugs and you have a PDR, a physician's death reference, and you look at the counterindications or what can happen if you take that drug with something else, one of the worst things you can take when you're taking even a prescription medication is grapefruit juice. It has a very bad reaction with a lot of drugs. Sometimes it'll nullify the drug, sometimes it'll modify the effect. So you don't want to take a drug unless you really need it and you know what you're doing. And they give you these inserts, package inserts inside any drug that you get.
Yeah.
And yeah, you'll be 2 years older by the time you finish reading that thing, plus your eyeballs would fall out.
You
but
know,
you need to know.
Yeah, the obvious thing for me, and of course I'm in the opposite industry from the drug industry, so I'm going to be biased, of course. You said earlier you don't need to take the drug unless you need it, and I find it's very difficult for me to ever identify a need for a drug, since each and every one of them only mask a symptom. There is not a single solitary drug that cures anything. It's a mask, and that is all to make you think things or do. So I'll take the best one to describe would be the drug that you take to keep your insulin level just a little bit high. Now, it's designed that way to keep your level just over center there so that it is will guarantee that you will buy that drug for the balance of your life, which is, of course, shortened. Yeah.
Exactly, and that's very, very dangerous. You know, and you don't want to take any drug that's going to mask the pain. I mean, if you hurt yourself and they say, well, let me give you some Oxycontin, some hydrocodones, well,
yeah,
that's going to do is make it so you don't feel the pain. Well, if you don't feel the pain, you're going to hurt yourself.
Exactly.
The pain, although it's a bad thing, is very important so you know not to damage what you damaged in the first place to cause you to take the pill.
Mm-hmm.
And plus with these pills, that's very, very popular among kids because they can get them at home. You know, their grandparents, their parents have had some kind of injury that took a couple of Percocets. Now they're in the medicine cabinet.
Absolutely.
They go up and take the Percocets and they, you know, grind them up and snort them. It's a hillbilly heroin. It's cheap high.
I hear that. We're going to take a short break and be right back, Mike, okay? So hang on a second.
Sounds good.
My book title is Collapse of Drugs Due to Wellness, and it is based on my past experiences as well as my research for the past 30 years, and it was satisfying to get this burden off my chest. Glenn Beck examples are part of my book when I explain what an unconstitutional and shocking monopoly that Big Pharma has on our healthcare system. With the support and blessings from the FDA, what I have written has moved me deeply, and I feel that I will move you as well. There is no naivete in this book. It helps you understand that I know I can't please all of the people all the time. However, I did not run from any subject that may be misrepresented in the media today, which I discussed in the book. I do not dance around issues lightly. The beginning of the book is crucial in that properly framing what's going on and what you're about to read is either going to cause you to want more or to curse under your breath at buying the book if you worked for the FDA. Every person who has read the book has appreciated reading the book. Nobody can move and inspire by following strict rules, and this book clearly does not have rules. If there are no rules and no assumed judgment, then physiological blocks are impossible to build in your mind, so trust me, the facts are presented and the subject matter is presented in such a manner as to assume the reader will be spellbound to what they are reading. I wrote the book in such a manner that it would not allow the perceived national media's varying opinions to sway the wording. No matter what you thought about the subject matter before reading, you were left with your own opinions and judgments that could only be swayed by the science and fact which I present. For instance, there may be a quick remark about a powerful issue that will jolt you, similar to a shot of whiskey, but that never-wavering science which is necessary was always there to back it up. You are never left with conjecture. I think this type of jolt, when placed in a particular place, at a precise place and moment, was exactly what the conversation needed. Occasionally, this is the only way to communicate a serious subject. As much as I read and talk with others, I find that most of us are always have something to say. Some are just not brave enough to say it. And as you may well learn when reading this book, I break that mold. I want you to feel shocked, yet relieved to know what I have revealed once I have shined the light in those areas hidden from public view, dark areas of the medical pharmaceutical sickness industry. As the light is shined on the FDA, they are seen to be contributing to the problem and limiting health choices by helping to create the existing drug monopoly. I always leave it up to you to decide. Learning how money purchases favors and laws in our country is bad enough, and most of us suspect that. However, not to the extent of the invading of our constitutional rights that they're doing now. I call Glenn Beck the local constitutionalist, and I ask for Glenn's help throughout the book, in jest, of course, to look into what I call the raping of our Constitution by our money-grabbing politicians who help to decrease our health choices because sickness creates wealth, and wellness only creates health.
The book is Collapse of Drugs, Due to Wellness, and it's on Amazon, or you can go on our website, livelonger123.com, and click on Book and purchase it there. Collapse of Drugs, Due to Wellness. Now, where were we? Mike, despite the fact that, you know, synthetic marijuana is bad, and we just got to making certain that everybody knew that certainly the normal marijuana is bad as well, and we talk about brain cell damage and other. What about the bath salts? What actually do you know what that pertains to? What is it? What's inside it, and how it actually affects the body? I know it would have to penetrate the skin, as you may well be soaking in a bathtub, right?
Well, this is something you would also take orally. They just call it bath salts because of the way it looks. It looks like Epsom salts. It's got the structure of a salt, but really it contains DMAA, alpha PVP, as MDVP, which is a long word I read before. They're all dangerous stimulants and hallucinogenics. Now, they keep changing these as well, so they're hard to test for. You can test for them, but you can also miss them because the person might be using a new derivative. And they can either be snorted, injected, or smoked. So there's a lot of different ways to take them, but they used to sell these things in gas stations, convenience shops, because they weren't, along with the K2 and spice, weren't really considered illegal because they didn't really fall into any of the existing categories for illegal drugs. I'm going to get to medical marijuana for a second. These states, along with Holder and Obama, they want to make every drug legal, which is asinine. But the states that are making marijuana legal as a recreational drug assumed that by doing this, they would be able to gather a lot of tax money. They don't care about the health of a person or if it's going to hurt them or kill them, but they see the tax money. Unfortunately, there's always unforeseen consequences to liberals trying to do something right. The medical marijuana is approved in the same states, and that's not a taxed item.
Wouldn't you also say that that might be gaining them votes when they support something that people who we would call the low-informed would be using, and so therefore, hey, we're going to jump on the bandwagon, kind of like the illegal alien bandwagon that they're grossly on and trying to get the vote. What would you have?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I agree 100% with that. Look at the Hemp Fest in Washington, D.C., or Washington State, excuse me. Mostly kids, mostly unmotivated. I hate to call them stupid because I don't know them, but they're not too smart.
Right.
They're happy that they can smoke marijuana. They're not supposed to do it in public, but the police won't stop them. They won't give them a ticket. They won't fine them. So they're running all around smoking marijuana.
Where was that on national television we were watching the other night? You and I were speaking about there was so many young kids out there, and I mean, you're not even supposed to smoke it in public at all, but all of them were smoking, and
right.
Each one that was talked to was a teenager. I couldn't guess the actual age, but they were all teenagers, and they each one would say really something very ill-informed, like, look, it can't be bad for you. It grows. It's like a plant.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You can get arsenic out of apple seeds, too.
Sure.
It'll be bad for you.
Yeah.
Not a good answer. But, I mean, yeah, this is another way for Obama to get votes. And the college kids were a lot of the ones that were pushed to talk to people to vote for Obama in 2008 and again in 2012. And unfortunately for them, they're getting paid back for their stupidity by their college loan rates going up, by coming out of college, not finding jobs in what they're trained to do. Sometimes you get what you voted for, and that's what they got.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these states that pushed recreational marijuana, because now they can tax it, recreational marijuana supporters and medical marijuana supporters are now feuding each other because you don't get tax dollars on medical marijuana. So now they're upset that everybody, I mean, you go to Hollywood, all these Hollywood theoretical stars have medical marijuana cards, so they can get it whenever they want, but it's not taxed.
You know,
so
let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Let's just say you're an employer, and you're in one of these states where they're making recreational marijuana available and legal. Just think what that does to your base. If you want to find employees, you can bet I don't want someone who's smoking marijuana in to start making stupid mistakes and maybe creating harm to someone that I'm supposed to be treating or being involved with somehow. And these brain-dead individuals start doing things that are funny to them. And by the way, and I really mean that whether it caused damage or harm to someone would still not negate their laughter. which is why I brought up the point that the possibility of those young people going out and saying that they were bored, so they went and found somebody to kill. See, it's not out of the ordinary to think in terms of, listen, you make medical marijuana a recreational drug, and you have a state full of people like that. Don't you agree?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You're dumbing down the state. You're dumbing down the labor pool. Mm-hmm. And these states that have made medical marijuana legal or recreational marijuana, which is a joke in itself, drives me crazy, hasn't changed the rules for drug testing. You do a pre-employment test and somebody's got marijuana in their system, and they say, well, marijuana is legal in this state. Yeah, well, it is, but you can't work here if you take marijuana. So it hasn't affected the laws for people hiring people. It just minimizes your opportunity for getting a job.
Right.
And fortunately for them, a lot of people use the marijuana. I'm sorry, go ahead, David.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine that ever working to a parallel that would be positive. Of course, you are going to get the attitude that those young kids had that were being interviewed out there in, was that Michigan where all those kids were that they were doing the marijuana thing? Do you remember?
That HempFest was Washington State.
Was it Washington? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, now, because it's legal there.
But that is such an obvious ramification, if you will, of what to expect and how a state could get behind such a referendum is just beyond me. It really is.
Well, it's the liberal people taking over, and we have a lot of people in the media and in government that were hippies back in the 60s when, you know, free love and drugs and LSD and everything was out there, and now they're in a position where they can actually try to make these things legal. The newspapers won't shoot it down because they're the same liberals that the politicians are that are trying to legalize all this garbage. And then the synthetic drugs that are coming out, you know, there's a couple others. There's Smiles that is also an hallucinogenic. It's a synthetic drug. And I had the other one, but I just deleted it. So there's a couple other. There's always coming out with new designer drugs. Mm-hmm. And the drug testing companies, you know, we're not keeping up, and they really can't. By the time they put a test out on the street, they've changed the combination. So the synthetic drugs, you really have to be not too smart to use a synthetic drug. First of all, to put a pill in your mouth, you don't know where it came from. I had a parent come to me a couple years ago with a little bottle of pills they got from their daughter. And it's funny, when you find one of your kids has drugs, the answer is a pat answer. Oh, I'm holding it for somebody else. Believe me, if somebody's a druggie, they ain't giving their drugs to anybody to hold for them.
Right, exactly.
So yeah. She had a stack of pills, and there were no markings on them. And I actually took them to a pharmacy, and they say, no, if they haven't got a marking on them, somebody made them in the basement. So
exactly.
I don't know what they were.
By the way, I want to make sure that every one of the listeners understand the reason that you are here talking about this is you are a bona fide expert. You got in this because of what happened in your own family. So there's nothing that will cause a person to learn more and to educate himself more than passion coming from an item that took place in the family. So I so am enthused about what you're talking about because I know that there can't be any words from anybody else that could match those because you've been there, done that. You have a complete laundry list of who's, whys, and hows, and I just love it. And when you're talking, it's like, the very top echelon of someone in the industry letting us all know what to look out for and what to press for. And I salute you for that. I really do.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, David. It's an experience I could have done without.
Certainly,
you know,
but that doesn't matter.
Not.
You took it the right way. Everything can be taken in a positive direction, and you took it that way, and that's what I'm proud of you for.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I know before I found out about my daughter, I had no idea about drugs. Never used drugs as a kid, never used drugs in my life.
certainly.
Don't smoke. I've never done any of that stuff. And to find out, and my daughter started with marijuana. And anybody that says marijuana is not a gateway drug does not have a clue on what's going on with drugs.
Yeah. Peer pressure, would you say that's number one? Number one is where it came from, peer pressure. Would you say that would be rock bottom?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's where it all comes from. Nobody wakes up and says, oh, I'm going to go out and start using heroin today.
Right.
It's introduced by somebody else. I mean, it's introduced at a bus stop when a kid's in middle school. You know, it's introduced at a party where somebody says, well, everybody's doing it, so you got to try it.
You know, my biggest passion is correcting our public school fiasco and firing the federal government and getting them out of personal lives and especially education and put it back in the state venue so that you can have a decent education and not a public education. You know, really, top education comes from private learned entities, whether it be charter schools or even teaching your children at home. It's you don't get education from public schools, and all we are getting is a collectiveness of these kinds of attitudes that more drugs is better, and geez, look at how you feel when you do this, and who can bounce the ball high, and who can throw it far, and nobody ever is focusing on education and learning and improving minds. It really is a disturbing fact to me.
Well, I'm a big fan of homeschooling at this point in time.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had kids that were young enough, mine are all in their 30s, I would actually consider trying to homeschool, because then you know what they're learning. Actually, you're learning yourself if you don't remember a lot of the information.
Absolutely.
But at least you have control and there's no peer pressure.
Exactly.
You know, they're not having somebody offer them something, because a lot of times the drug dealer is a kid down the street. You know, you don't know who your kid's friends are. You need to know. You need to ask them questions. You need to know where they are. You know, you don't say, where are you going? They say, out, and you say, okay. Where are you going? What's their phone number? How long are you going to be there? When are you coming back? Who are you going to be with? Are their parents home? There's a lot of questions you want to ask.
You got to do the tough stuff. You got to do the tough stuff. And if you don't, listen, I know we're both Christians. I will say that, look, here comes. You are not, nowhere in the Bible does it say, you shall spoil thy child. And it always says, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Now, you've got a job to do, and that is to get those kids up to where they can take care of themselves. That's your main job. And sometimes it takes some really aggressive, hard attitude, but you are doing it for them, not to them. I'm a firm believer that you, as soon as you get them to where they can get out and provide for themselves, you are a hurricane of a parent.
I remember a lot of the ways my father taught me things. I remember one time I was just replacing a set of points in, you know, the old cars that had points.
Right.
My father came by and looked at what we were doing, and he came by later, and I'm fishing for a little screw. He says, dropped a screw, didn't you? I said, yeah, it did drop down inside the distributor. Mm. He knew what to do. He knew that was going to happen. And then he told me how to solve the problem. This has got to be 50 years ago. I still remember that lesson. He'd let me make a mistake, and then he'd tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And he knew that by me doing that, I would remember what he said and what had happened, and I do.
Absolutely. It is all cause and effect, but you can never escape. Listen, toughness is love. It's called tough love. You certainly cannot live without it. If you're I know people who have children up in their 40s and a couple that has a 50-year-old that has never left home. That is not something to be proud of. They act as though there's nothing wrong with that. But that is a complete disregard for that kid. In my opinion, you just cannot turn your back on those kids. And like you say, where are you going? Here's what time you will be home, and give me a phone number. You know, all those kinds of things. You just can't leave it out. You are responsible. And I know that a lot of people say, well, he did it, he's responsible. No, if you're the parent, you had to get in there and roughhouse and get the right answers and make certain that who they're talking to and being around and all that type of thing. Yes, I'm certain that that is going to cause grief with the child because they would like you to just go on about your business and let them go on about theirs. But sorry, wrong, you've got a task to do, and they didn't choose to be there. You chose for them to be there, so now it's up to you. I really do think that.
Well, you're seeing a lot of that destruction through TV, through commercials, through stories. The father of the household is now looked down upon. You look at TV stories or commercials, the kids are telling the parents what to do, and they're listening.
Yeah.
Parents are parents. You can be your kid's friend when they're on their own. Now,
yeah.
Be a parent. Take the responsibility.
Exactly.
Do what you have to do.
Right.
Make the hard decisions. That's why you're a parent.
Certainly. No, there's
you
no
question.
You
want to be a parent, don't have kids.
No, there you go. There you go. That's a simple answer. And I know that could throw us into another subject, but just a quick step on that, and that is that there are so many single-parent households. You don't have that father and mother sitting at that kitchen table, that dinner table, what I call the dinner table ethics, being taught. So kids are kind of growing up willy-nilly on their own. And it's no doubt that they're going to be making all the wrong decisions. I mean, there's not a question in my mind that they're going to make intelligent decisions. They've not been smacked away from the table for being disrespectful and all of the things that you have to have growing up to become a moral fiber, well-spoken person who is going to honor the rights of others. You know, you just... they're not getting that, and you have, and one of the major, probably the major reasons that fathers are looked down on is because, you know, there's about 60% of them that are not there. They just
more than
are
that.
Not there.
That's a high percentage that just, and it's mainly, from what I've seen, the black families where the father is non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's got 7 kids by 5 different women, and he's not at any of them. And it's
mm-hmm.
crucial. You need this gay marriage stuff. You want to do that, that's great. Don't bother me with it. You need a woman and a man to raise a child. They all have different characteristics, and they all bring something different to the table. One's disciplinarian,
one is not. We both have that same attitude. It is fine with me, whatever you want to do out there. Just don't try to imply that it is now supposed to be acceptable by me. In other words, man, woman, married, that's it. Okay, y'all want to form a union, do your thing out there, that's your business. But don't kind of cram it down my throat and tell me that we need to even teach it in schools. And now we've got kids that boys can go into girls' restrooms, and girls can go into boys. This is getting to be ridiculous. It is really ridiculous. Political correctness is killing this country.
Well, you got, and I hate to get back to Obama again. I really hate to go back to Obama, but he's the one that won't enforce the DOMA Act, you know,
exactly.
The Defense of Marriage Act.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's, well, unfortunately, him being gay is pushing that on everybody else. So we're all supposed to be happy, you know, celebrate the person that's gay and let him get
mm-hmm.
married.
That,
they
again,
don't even realize
that's,
they're caught.
Yeah, again, that's their choice. I don't have any condemnation on them. I don't understand it, but I don't. I just, you know, leave it out of my, you know, hands, or don't try to tell me that I need to buy into whatever this is, and you have the same right as another man and woman and that type of thing. I just don't buy into that. So it's just not, that's not in the cards. You have to have a man and a woman to procreate, and it is, again, we can come back to Christianity, or you can come back to just simple science. You know, it's just not going to happen any other way. Procreation is a man and woman.
Right. It's not going to happen otherwise.
Right.
And you don't have two women or two men raising a child. You know, they're pushing stories in grade school now, you know, Sally's got two mommies. Well, that's not the kind of book little kids should be reading.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people don't realize that it's all nice to say, oh, everybody should be able to do what they want. You got to look at the financial side, too. It's going to increase medical insurance rates.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to increase or decrease Social Security involvement, because now, since they're married, they get medical benefits. They get inheritance rights. It's a very expensive thing just to make that little change, and nobody's talking about that.
I don't know how that we could loop this back into the problems that arise in children, in bringing that back into the equation, and drug use and all the other things. But I'm sure there's a metric in there somewhere that could be applicable, where you are, once you begin to see children as they react with children, and you realize that some feel inferior, just being in their skin, they feel inferior, and for whatever reason, I have no idea, but they'll feel inferior, and other kids will bully them because they will sense that. And so they begin to feel a certain way, and this is what they were trying to explain, why they had to have certain boys going to girls' bathrooms, because they felt a different gender, and so therefore it would be less bullying. Are you kidding me? That would increase the amount of bullying, because it's like wearing a sign on yourself. I can't understand how the logic there. I always try to use science and logic, because it's the kind of business that I'm in. And you cannot look at something logically and then try to make something illogical make sense. It's just, there's just no way. When you're talking about this, marijuana use, and now we've got salt, bass, ecstasy, and then, of course, the legalizing of it. All of it boils down to the illogic of being politically correct. We have legal drugs that kill more people. But can you imagine this? Look, Jane Fonda, who they picked to play Miss Reagan on that Reagan movie, by the way, went over and insulted our soldiers who are drafted and join the Army to defend our country, okay? That's all. And they're told what to do. She went over there and spit in their face and caused them all types of degradation and punishment above and beyond what they might have even gotten without her. And that Vietnam War killed 58,000 people. Drugs killed more than 196,000 people a year. Where is all of the outrage for this? Nobody says anything about any of it. And their advertising is billions of dollars a year, and every third commercial is a drug commercial. So where are the Jane Fondas, if you will, of this type of catastrophe, if you will, okay?
Yeah, not popular, so they won't come out and say anything.
Right. It's amazing. It's just, you know, what's good for the goose is not good for the gander and that type of thing. Well, Mike, we're coming down to the wire. I cannot tell you how much I appreciated you on this evening. I'm looking forward to your being on the program in the morning at 11, again, with our political program, and I'm going to be signing off and saying good evening to everybody.
Thank you, David.
You've been listening to Aging Younger with David and Stephanie Tippy. You've just heard that alternatives to the sickness industry are alive and well, helping you to age younger. The Anti-Aging Clinic is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill, Florida. You can reach David and Stephanie at 954-742-4430. That phone number again is 954-742-4430. And you can learn more about them on their website, livelonger123.com. Join us every Wednesday and Friday at 1 o'clock for Aging Younger on 1040 WLV.